By the year 1840s, the French were starting to occupy Northern Africa and to establish permanent presence there. Or, as we call it, they were trying to colonize it. Although there had been resistance, notably the Berbers were proving to be a thorn in their side. To defeat the Berbers, the French had to understand them. And to understand them, the French went to an unlikely source. The French Minister of War called for translation of a historian's work, more specifically the passages he wrote that concerned Berbers and the Maghreb, northwestern Africa. The historian was named Ibn Khaldun. Ibn Khaldun was many things, an economist, a sociologist, and much more. But what concerns us here is his work as a historiographer. Historiography is the study of how to record history and how to understand it. And many consider Ibn Khaldun to be the forerunner in the field. He was born in Tunis in 1332 CE. He traced his family's origin to Andalusia, Muslim Spain, during the 8th century, when it was nearly conquered by the Umayyads. Before that, he claims to have descended from a tribe in Yemen. At the time of his birth, the region was in calamity. First of all, the Almohad dynasty that had breached Spain and North Africa had collapsed, leaving behind smaller emirates, all under pressure from the Christian Reconquista. His family had relocated to Tunis because of that. According to Ibn Khaldun, his father abandoned the way of the sword and service to the state for that of knowledge and scholarly retreat. As a child, he was educated in many things, including the Quran, Arabic poetry, and rudimentary Islamic law. One of the most impressionable events of his early life was the seizing of Tunis by the Marinids, a Berber dynasty, from the Hafsids, who were the de facto rulers of the region. Even though the Marinid control of Tunis didn't last, the impact it left on Ibn Khaldun was permanent. Ibn Khaldun realized the politics of North Africa and Spain. He understood how unstable the region actually was. After the Almohad, the region was broken up into tribal territories and city-states. The Black Death hit North Africa around the year 1348 CE. Both of Ibn Khaldun's parents died from it. Tunis had been a hotbed of intellectual activity. After all, the Iberian scholars that had been exiled by the Spanish Reconquista had moved to Tunis. Now, however, thanks to the plague, a lot of them had perished, and Ibn Khaldun's learning might have actually seriously been affected by it. Ibn Khaldun spent the next 30 years in service of many of these city-states. He served as a high-ranking minister, secretary, administrator, ambassador, and counselor to rulers in Tunis, Fez, Bejaia, Tlemcen, and Granada. He also came in contact with many nomadic and semi-nomadic tribes from whom he learned their history and their differences from the settled people. During his time at these courts, he was often on the losing side of political intrigue and was even jailed twice. By 1375 CE, he was tired of politics and he sought isolation. He found it in the safety of a castle, Qalat ibn Salama, near what is now the town of Frenda, Algeria. There, he collected his thoughts and compiled them into a series of books. The first one, which is now more famous than the series, was called The Introduction, or Al-Muqaddimah. The series was meant to be a universal history of the Arabs and the Berbers, but he thought that it would be better to talk about historical method before he discussed actual history, and to lay the rules and criteria for distinguishing historical truth from fabrication. I like to think that he introduced logic to history, that if all the stories say something, but it doesn't really make sense according to the time period and the conditions, it's probably not true. There's many examples in the book of such stories that contradict logic. Do check it out yourself. It was first published in 1377, although Ibn Khaldun kept making revisions almost till the day he died. The seven volumes of history began with the story of the creation and carried through to the Muslim West, his homeland. It was finished in 1381 CE, surprisingly not that long for a book its size. In around 1382 CE, he left for a pilgrimage to Mecca. He never returned to his homeland of northwestern Africa. By 1384 CE, Ibn Khaldun was a member of the Mamluk state in Egypt, where he held various positions, one of which he held six times throughout his life. He said of Egypt, "He who has not seen it does not know the power of Islam." At the time, the Mamluk Sultanate was pretty much the only stable Muslim realm in the Middle East post the disasters that were the Mongol Horde and the Black Death. Ibn Khaldun served it for quite a while. However, he found himself tangled in political intrigue once again. In the same year, 1384 CE, a ship carrying Ibn Khaldun's wife and children sank near the coast of Alexandria, a tragedy like none other for Ibn Khaldun. Afterwards, Ibn Khaldun retired from political positions and went to teach at various schools and universities around the Mamluk Egypt. In 1400 CE, Timur the Lame, or as I like to call him, Timur the Jerk, attacked Damascus. The Sultan of Egypt took Ibn Khaldun with him to deal with Timur. However, the Mamluk army and the Sultan returned to Egypt, but Ibn Khaldun was left in the city under siege. On behalf of the city's elites, Ibn Khaldun went to negotiate with Timur. He spent some 7 weeks with him in his camp and discussed various topics with him. It's present in great detail in Ibn Khaldun's autobiography. Timur is said to have treated Ibn Khaldun with respect and asked him about the condition of the Maghrib, northwestern Africa. Ibn Khaldun made an extensive report on it because, you know, he was such a huge nerd. Due to this favor, Ibn Khaldun asked Timur to treat the city well and let him return to Egypt. Timur allowed it, and then he sacked Damascus and burned its great mosque, because how else would you make sure that you remembered as Timur the Jerk? Ibn Khaldun returned to Egypt and led the rest of his life in various positions, scholarly and political. He passed away on 17th of March, 1406 CE. Ibn Khaldun's legacy in both European and Islamic world is maybe unlike anyone else. He wrote in Al-Muqaddimah, "The writing of history requires numerous sources and greatly varied knowledge. It also requires a good speculative mind and thoroughness, which leads the historian to the truth and keeps him from slips and errors. If he trusts historical information in its plain, transmitted form and has no clear knowledge of the principles resulting from customs, the fundamental facts of politics and the nature of civilization or the conditions governing human social organization, and if, furthermore, he does not evaluate remote or ancient material through comparison with near or contemporary material, he often cannot avoid stumbling and slipping and deviating from the high road of the truth. Historians, Quran commentators, and leading transmitters have committed frequent errors in the stories and events they reported. They accepted them in the plain transmitted form, without regard for its value. They did not check them with the principles underlying such historical situations, nor did they compare them with similar material. Also, they did not probe the yardstick of philosophy with the help of knowledge of the nature of things, or with help of speculation and historical insight. Therefore, they stayed from the truth and found themselves lost in the desert of baseless assumptions and errors." In this way, Ibn Khaldun proposed a system for history, rather than a linear series of stories transmitted from one to the other. "The first time I read the book, I couldn't find a story that I wasn't questioning. Ibn Khaldun introduced a new way of thinking about history, and for that, his work will always live on. He gave the world many things. Even Ronald Reagan quoted him in support of what is known as supply-side economics, and claimed to have seen prophetic ideas for the fiscal problems of capitalism in his work. But perhaps the greatest thing that Ibn Khaldun gave the world was Al-Muqaddimah." No, not the book. I mean the name for this channel. See you next time.